Hello there, this is the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode number 23, where in 52 weeks we'll read the entire Bible. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. Thank you for being here. If you'd like to contact me, my email address is steve@lifespringmedia.com. Feedback or questions are always welcome. Today's Monday, so our reading is from Genesis chapters 12 through 15. If you'd like to know what Bible translation I'm using today, that info will be at the show notes page at bible.lifespringmedia.com. Just look for the episode number 23. Also, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that I need your support and that I would have more information for you on a future episode. Well, that episode is today, so please be sure to listen past today's scripture reading. As you know, there'll never be any outside advertisers on this podcast, but there are some very real costs involved in producing this show, especially given the fact that this is a daily podcast. So please remember to listen all the way to the end of the show today. All right, let's begin.
Genesis chapter 12. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, your relatives, and your father's home, and go to a land that I'm going to show you. I will give you many descendants, and they will become a great nation. I will bless you and make your name famous, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, but I will curse those who curse you, and through you I will bless all the nations." When Abram was 75 years old, he started out from Haran, as the Lord had told him to do, and Lot went with him. Abram took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the wealth and all the slaves they had acquired in Haran, and they started out for the land of Canaan. When they arrived in Canaan, Abram traveled through the land until he came to the sacred tree of Moreh, the holy place at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were still living in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "This is the country that I am going to give to your descendants." Then Abram built an altar there to the Lord, who had appeared to him. After that, he moved on south to the hill country east of the city of Bethel and set up his camp between Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There also he built an altar and worshipped the Lord. Then he moved on from place to place, going toward the southern part of Canaan. But there was a famine in Canaan, and it was so bad that Abram went farther south to Egypt to live there for a while. When he was about to cross the border into Egypt, he said to his wife Sarai, "You are a beautiful woman. When the Egyptians see you, they will assume that you are my wife, and so they will kill me and let you live. Tell them that you are my sister. Then, because of you, they will let me live and treat me well." When he crossed the border into Egypt, the Egyptians did see that his wife was beautiful. Some of the court officials saw her and told the king how beautiful she was, so she was taken to his palace. Because of her, the king treated Abram well and gave him flocks of sheep and goats, cattle, donkeys, slaves, and camels. But because the king had taken Sarai, the Lord sent terrible diseases on him and on the people of his palace. Then the king sent for Abram and asked him, "What have you done to me? Why didn't you tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say that she was your sister and let me take her as my wife? Here is your wife. Take her and get out." The king gave orders to his men, so they took Abram and put him out of the country, together with his wife and everything he owned. Genesis chapter 13. So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev, he and his wife and all that belonged to him, and Lot with him. Now Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. He went on his journeys from the Negev as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there formerly. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now Lot, who went with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, and the land could not sustain them while dwelling together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to remain together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. Now the Canaanite and the Perizzite were dwelling then in the land. So Abram said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me, nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right, or if to the right, then I will go to the left." Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the valley of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go to Zoar. So Lot chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward. Thus they separated from each other. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, while Lot settled in the cities of the valley, and moved his tents as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly, and sinners against the Lord. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, "Now lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which you see, I will give it to you and your descendants forever. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if anyone can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants can also be numbered. Arise, walk about the land through its length and breadth, for I will give it to you." Then Abram moved his tent, and came and dwelt by the oaks of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and there he built an altar to the Lord. Genesis chapter 14. And it came about in the days of Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of Goyim, that they made war with Bera, king of Sodom, and with Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, and Shemeber, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, that is, Zoar. All these came as allies to the valley of Siddim, that is, the Salt Sea. 12 years they had served Chedorlaomer, but the 13th year they rebelled. In the 14th year, Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him came and defeated the Rephaim in Ashtaroth-Karnaim, and the Zuzim in Ham, and the Emim in Sheva-Kirathaim, and the Horites in their Mount Seir, as far as El-Paran, which is by the wilderness. Then they turned back and came to En-Mishpat, that is, Kadesh, and conquered all the country of the Amalekites, and also the Amorites, who lived in Hazazon-Tamar. And the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah and the king of Admah, and the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, that is, Zoar, came out, and they arrayed for battle against them in the valley of Siddim, against Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of Goyim, and Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar, 4 kings against 5. Now the valley of Siddim was full of tar pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, and they fell into them. But those who survived fled to the hill country. Then they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah, and all their food supply, and departed. They also took Lot, Abram's nephew, and his possessions, and departed, for he was living in Sodom. Then a fugitive came and told Abram, the Hebrew. Now he was living by the oaks of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner, and these were allies with Abram. When Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive, he led out his trained men, born in his house, 318, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. He divided his forces against them by night, he and his servants, and defeated them, and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. He brought back all the goods, and also brought back his relative Lot with his possessions, and also the women and the people. Then, after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him in the valley of Sheva, that is, the king's valley. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High. He blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." He gave him a tenth of all. The king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give the people to me and take the goods for yourself." Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have sworn to the Lord God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread or a sandal thong or anything that is yours, for fear you would say, 'I have made Abram rich.' I will take nothing except what the young men have eaten, and the share of the men who went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them take their share." Genesis chapter 15. Some time later, the Lord spoke to Abram in a vision and said to him, "Do not be afraid, Abraham, for I will protect you, and your reward will be great." But Abram replied, "O sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir. Then the Lord said to him, No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir. Then the Lord took Abram outside and said to him, Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you will have. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Then the Lord told him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land as your possession. But Abram replied, How can I be sure that I will actually possess it? The Lord told him, Bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. So Abram presented all these to him and killed them. Then he cut each animal down the middle and laid the halves side by side. He did not, however, cut the birds in half. Some vultures swooped down to eat the carcasses, but Abram chased them away. As the sun was going down, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a terrifying darkness came down over him. Then the Lord said to Abram, You can be sure that your descendants will be strangers in a foreign land, where they will be oppressed as slaves for 400 years. But I will punish the nation that enslaves them, and in the end they will come away with great wealth. As for you, you will die in peace and be buried at a ripe old age. After 4 generations your descendants will return here to this land, for the sins of the Amorites do not yet warrant their destruction. After the sun went down and darkness fell, Abram saw a smoking firepot and a flaming torch pass between the halves of the carcasses. So the Lord made a covenant with Abram that day and said, I have given this land to your descendants, all the way from the border of Egypt to the great Euphrates River. The land now occupied by the Kenites, Kenizzites, Kadmonites, Hittites, Perizzites, Rephaites, Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and Jebusites.
Just a very brief comment about today's reading before I talk to you about how you could support LifeSpring Media. Now, the very first time we see Abraham's name in Scripture is in chapter 11 of Genesis, verse 26, when his name is Abram. We're told that after Terah was 70 years old, he became the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Then, in today's chapter, verse 1, we see God's call for him to move from his home in Haran to a place that God would show to him. And in verse 4, we learn that Abram was 75 years old when he moved. You know what this tells me? It tells me that even old people are sometimes called to do God's work. I say this because most folks seem to think that when they're old, they can skate on whatever their previous work was. They say, I'm too old to get involved. Let the young folks do the heavy lifting. I'm retired. Don't think that's true? Well, I've seen it time and time again in church. Getting the seniors to engage is often like pulling teeth. Beloved, God is not through using you until He calls you home. If you're still on this earth, He has a reason for keeping you here. Seek His will. Ask Him what it is He wants you to do. And now I'd like to talk to you very frankly. It takes many hours to produce the quality shows that you like to hear, and it's my desire to continue to bring them to you. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm far from a rich man, financially speaking, and I need your help. 1 Timothy 5:18 says, Those who work deserve their pay. That's an early mention of what is known today as the value-for-value model. If someone produces something of value, then they should receive financial support equal to that value. Let me give you some background. In the summer of 2004, God laid this message on my heart, Proclaim My Name. If you like the full story of how I became the first to create a Christian podcast as a result of this call, you can find that story at lifespringmedia.com. Just look for the About Steve Webb page. Anyway, proclaiming the name of God is at the center of every podcast episode you'll find at lifespringmedia.com. From reading through the Bible in a year like we're doing here, to telling stories behind the beloved old hymns of the faith, to explaining how to pronounce long Bible names and much more, the goal is always to draw you closer to the one who created you, loves you, and provided a way for you to spend eternity in His presence. Any donation you make will help keep this work alive, and it'll help guarantee that none of our podcasts will ever need any outside advertisers who may try to influence the presentation of the good news of Jesus Christ. The primary home of our podcast is at lifespringmedia.com. This is critically important because the forces who are intolerant of the Christian message today and would try to deplatform or censor us from the internet seem to be growing stronger by the day. LifeSpring Media must have its own place on the internet, not dependent on YouTube, Facebook, Google, Apple, or any other entity. But there are costs associated with this kind of independence. Website hosting fees, media server fees, computers, studio software. The list goes on and on. With no outside advertisers, your help is vital. I can't do this without you. I need your prayers, your efforts to tell others about LifeSpring Media, and your financial support. The only advertising you'll ever hear on any of the shows is for products or services that I personally create or provide. There will never be any outside advertisers of any kind. You can help support LifeSpring Media by buying my book or hiring me to do voiceover work for your business, but I need ongoing support as well, because the expenses go on and on. Let me ask you a question. Do you receive value from the LifeSpring podcasts? How much value do you think I bring to your life by producing them? If you listen every day to the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible on a normal week, you're receiving a minimum of 70 minutes of Bible reading and commentary. In a year's time, that's over 60 hours. How much is that worth to you? What does that bring to your life? Is that worth a weekly or a monthly donation? Value for value. In order to continue to provide these shows, I truly do need your help. Now, of course, a donation is never required. All the content at LifeSpring Media is free, but any amount you may like to give will be very much appreciated and will help to support the work. Whether you give $5, $10, $20, $100, $500, or $1,000, you decide what value you receive from the podcasts. It all helps. Now, I've got several levels set up that will receive recognition and even titles for people that give. Now, what I'm about to explain is outlined very clearly at lifespringmedia.com/support, but I want to go over it here as well. Any donation under $50 will automatically remain anonymous, and also any amount will remain anonymous upon request. But I have set up ways where you can give a one-time gift, a weekly gift, a monthly gift, or even quarterly. Now, a $5 a month gift makes you a LifeSpring Media follower. $10 a month makes you a LifeSpring Media ally. $20 a month, you earn the title of LifeSpring Media Associate Producer. $50 a month, you become an Executive Producer. $100 a month, you are a Distinguished Producer. And anybody who gives $1,000 or more one-time gift becomes a LifeSpring Media Insta-Berean. More about Bereans in just a little bit. Supporters who donate a one-time gift over $50 will receive a special thanks on the next episode produced of the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. Supporters who donate a one-time gift over $100 will receive associate producer credit on any LifeSpring Media episode of their choice from the shows that are currently being produced. Supporters who donate a one-time gift of over $300 will receive exclusive sole executive producer credit on any LifeSpring Media episode of their choice from the shows that are currently being produced. Supporters who donate a one-time gift of over $500 will receive exclusive sole distinguished producer credit on any LifeSpring Media of their choice from the shows that are currently being produced. And supporters who make donations totaling $1,000 or more will receive the honored title of Berean. Men Bereans henceforth will be known as brother and women as sister, like Brother Mark or Sister Martha. To differentiate names that may be duplicated, it's suggested that those earning the title of Berean attach a name or phrase to their first name, like Brother Mark of the Eastern Valley, etc. Now, what does this title Berean mean? Well, we read of the Bereans in Acts 17:10 through 15. The key verse in there for our purposes here is verse 11b, which says, "The Bereans were eager to hear what Paul and Silas said and studied the scriptures every day to find out if those things were true." Now, keeping track of donation titles is up to the person doing the giving. Once the $1,000 threshold is met, email me with your total and your accounting and the Berean name that you would like to claim. Bereans will also receive an autographed copy of my book, Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide, in paperback. Now, please pray about what God would have you do in terms of donating, and then go to lifespringmedia.com/support and give whatever the Lord leads you to do. If you have any questions at all, email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com, and I'll be happy to answer any question you have. Beloved, I'd like to make this a really fun thing, and I'd like to give recognition to those that step up and help support LifeSpring Media. So right now, while you're thinking about it, go to lifespringmedia.com/support and take a look at what's there. I've done everything I can to make it as easy for you as possible. Well, that's about it. I'm glad you joined me today. If you'd like to email me, again, my email address is steve@lifespringmedia.com, and I'll see you tomorrow when we'll read Joshua 16 through 20. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.